Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back live right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Withermo, the King of Kingdoms. So, goddamn, I'm so good. I love myself. I am the Hot Rod. And I have the one, the only, whatever his name is.
Sean Black is in the building once again. And sober, and also, unlike some people that I know, but they will remain nameless.
I had one drink. I only had one drink so far. That's it. Drink of water.
Yeah. Get based on what we're going to be talking about, you'll be half drunk by the end of the show.
And on the other phone line, I have the lady of all ladies, Lady T's in the building. Welcome.
Hey y'all.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, folks, you know the number 347-989-8402. That number once again is 347-989-8402. Oh my God, there's so much to talk about. Where do we begin? Well, Sean Black, there's a question I mean to ask you over the weekend. And this is between you and I and Lady T. No one don't need to know about the secret. We'd like to know, are you the whistleblower against Donald Trump?
If I was, I meant to it right now. Believe I would let you know. Or let anyone else know.
Admit to us, Sean, nobody's listening to us right now. Admit to us that you are the whistleblower. Whether you're the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth.
So let me get this straight. We're on worldwide, and no one is listening to us? I don't think so. So like I said before, if I did know something, I wouldn't tell you.
I'm just saying. But,
I would be the anonymous guy with the bag on his head that would be mixing in very well with everyone else.
True. Well, of course, there's a lot going on with Mr. Trump in the House. Bottom line, Sean Black, what do you think about the so-called quote-unquote whistleblowing that's going on? And do you think this will be finally a good lead for the impeachment? And do you think the impeachment case will finally going to happen?
Oh, of course, it's going to happen. I don't think that's going to be an issue. You have to also be able to get enough
evidence
from, well, obviously evidence. And it's starting to, what we've been seeing over the last few weeks after the initial whistleblower case started up, it seems like every day there's some new part of the story, something going on as far as that goes. I think most people have come to the conclusion that we know that there is corruption going on within this administration. We know that because there are people that were in Trump's administration that are actually in jail right now. Former campaign members, people that were in his circle, are in jail serving time for doing things illegal and taking plea deals to make sure that they either don't spill the beans and get anyone else incriminated or just taking deals so that they can get out sooner. But in general, we know from what we've seen, the bottom line of what this whole whistleblower thing is at its essence is that the president, based on what the whistleblower has stated or has put in through the proper channels, the president went to ask a favor to gain to get dirt on a political rival by withholding funds to a foreign country in what they needed, talking about the Ukraine. The Ukraine, we know right now, is in military disarray. They needed federal aid. They needed money for their weaponry, et cetera, et cetera. And we know, based on what this whistleblower has brought out through the media, based on that, and we're starting to hear more and more sources talking about it left and right, is that the president withheld funds to basically say, look, we know you need this aid. Give us a little bit of dirt on Mr. Joe Biden, former vice president of the United States, and his son Hunter, who was working I believe, as a liaison for the United States in the Ukraine, I believe for an oil company or something along those lines. And that is illegal. That is what's called quid pro quo. That is illegal to do. On the books, in the law, cannot be done. And we are seeing small bits and pieces of this kind of thing starting to pop up, and we're hearing more and more of this condemnation from Democrats. We know that there are some Republicans that are starting to show a little bit of their displeasure with this whole situation. And then on top of all of that, there's so many other things that are happening right now with the president and his administration that there's so much disarray. It's almost like a soap opera. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to end at this point.
Well, he did something good today. He got in trade with China, right? To help our farmers in this country, right? As I told you earlier today.
Yeah, the deal deal between Japan and the United States. Basically, what he's trying to do is get a trade agreement on the table. Notice all of this stuff starts to happen as the scandals are starting to pop up more and more and more. We know that the United States and Japan have had an issue with their trade agreement. This is supposed to be a trade agreement that was initially done years ago, was pulled out of, the United States pulled out of this on President Trump's first day. The Obama administration had a pact that was called the Asia-Pacific Pact, and that was actually done in accordance with other Asian nations to be able to trade within the United States and other Asian countries, specifically Japan and China and other countries like that. There is a huge amount of money that gets exported between the United States and Japan. And those are the kinds of things that needed to be taken care of. Apparently, the president said that there was a huge deficit that needed to be made up. And that's, but this deal is supposed to actually help farmers much more so than anything else.
Do you call that brownie points? Is that brownie points on Donald Trump?
I want you to think about this. And this is probably something that Lady T would probably agree with also. When you hear about these kinds of things in the media, that the president is striking a deal to end certain taxes, et cetera, and tariffs and all of the other things and of that nature, so he's doing this, or he's signing in a law that does something else here, or he's signing a bill, or he's going on a trip to do something. You notice a lot of this always seems to go hand in hand when something else around the corner that can be equally worse that he's done prior is just about to hit the fan, as they say. And we've talked about this ad nauseum for many years as we've done this show, that when one thing happens that is potentially positive for the country or for the United States or for its interests, something bad is lurking around the corner. Now, a lot of people don't realize that today is the first day of first session for the House and Congress to come in, which is usually the first Monday in October that they come back into the new term. And one of the things that they're going to be hearing about, abortion. I believe in Louisiana, they're having to the Supreme Court, I believe, in Louisiana is going to actually hear about certain protections within abortion. They're going to challenge at the Supreme Court level. So there are a lot of these things that people don't listen to or don't know about because there's so many other things that are being purposely plastered in front of everyone to distract you from some of the other things that are going on. And that's, I believe that's what our job is, to at least make something known about what's going on.
Lady T?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we talking about Trump again?
Are you surprised? I'm like, if you think this impeachment does happen, do you think we'll go through all the way and this probably will lead to the end of Trump?
You know,
or does another wish hunt?
I still see him being a one-term president, let's hope. But I'm not giving my hopes up because this can go any which way. We've seen him already dodge that Mueller investigation and so forth and so on. So I'll just wait to see how it plays out.
There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things on the table that you have to bring up that they're talking about now. And as you're saying right now, when we talk about is this impeachment inquiry going to get to the point where something actually happens, it's going to take some time. But seemingly every time we hear something happens, some new development seems to expedite the process. And you know who the two people that are actually hurting Trump more than anyone else is his own lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and Trump himself. And in the process of doing all of this stuff, the more that they talk, the more that they're throwing out more things to the American people that are making them see the ones that are either on the fence about this, because I've heard a lot of people that either think that this is just a witch hunt toward the administration, or the ones that are sternly behind the president and the administration. Every day there seems to be something else that's coming out there, and the more that Giuliani starts speaking, it brings more doubt into what this administration is doing.
I understand what you're saying, Sean, but once again, that's your opinion. A lot of people don't see it that way.
No, this isn't my opinion. This is the opinion of people that actually are behind the president. I'm not saying everybody is.
Yeah, and that's
but
true.
What I'm saying
is a lot of
what
people
you're
behind
hearing
the president
now is more and more people, even the ones that actually support the president, are the ones that are actually behind the president. Seemingly every time Giuliani goes on to a TV news network and talks, he seems to put his foot further and further in his own mouth. And it seems to add more fuel to this fire that is starting to make some people, not all people, because the president is still, I believe, Republicans that are behind the president, I believe it's at a 90% approval rating. So the Republicans that are still behind him in his base are still strong for him. But there are other people that are on the fence that even are Republicans that are kind of looking at this like, this is more and more of this stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. That's making them kind of think a little bit differently.
Okay. Well, I'm with Lady T on this one. I'm not going to say much. I'll just wait and see till the final result because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
This country is so backwards. You think the right thing is the right thing, but end up becomes the wrong thing. The wrong thing is the right thing. So we completely backwards.
Yeah, there's so much corruption going on in government right now. You don't know where to start anymore.
Talk about corruption. I'd like to talk about our justice system in this country. I asked Lady T if she wanted to do the show last week Thursday. She's like, no, wait. And she was completely right, I have to admit, on air, because there's more. There is so much to this story. This is like one of the biggest soap operas that I've seen in a long time. So, Sean Black, I'd like you to recap of the Dallas cop shooting and what happened in the court. And Lady T, when Sean is done, can you please break it down of what you think really happened in that court and why it happened in that court? And In addition, Lady T, what do you think was a set-off for you later on? Was it the judge hugging the cop or the brother who asked for a hug and forgave the cop for shooting the brother or the cop who went over and fixed the lady here or the sentence itself? There's some examples for later on.
I'll know who to throw it to when I'm done with this.
Let me go get my problem. Probably
just sit down. He'll take his headset off and he'll fall asleep. Because I know that's exactly what he's doing right now.
Oh, God.
But
goodbye.
Yes. Lady T, this will be our chance to actually run the show. So,
all right, go ahead.
How you doing? Anyway, basically, for those that don't really know fully about the trial and what is going on, this is a trial that took place for something that happened back in September of last year. A female cop by the name of Amber Geiger, who claimed she worked a 14-hour day, white female cop, went into her apartment complex, apparently went into the wrong apartment door, found that the door was ajar, opened the door thinking, from what she has claimed in the testimony, that she walked into her apartment thinking it was her apartment, walked into the wrong apartment. The apartment that she walked into was by a man who was born in St. Lucia by the name of Botham John, 26 years old. He was an accountant trying to do big things with his life, and apparently she mistook him as, for whatever reason, an intruder in her apartment, pulled out her gun, and shot him. He later died on the way to the hospital. Apparently, the claiming is that she called the police, called the authorities to say, you know, there's something has happened, et cetera, et cetera. There have been eyewitnesses, including one witness who lived across the hall from Mr. John, saying that he did not hear anybody get on a phone and say anything as far as, you know, this is the police stop, nothing along those lines. She was arrested, and initially she was charged with manslaughter as opposed to attempted murder, which got the ire of the entirety of the Texas media, and then it blew up to the national media, which then ended up leading to her a couple of weeks later being fired. Fast forward to the actual case where all of the evidence was heard. We've found out through the testimony and everything else that she was found and eventually guilty. The sentencing part of this trial came up, and there were so many things that popped up from the sentencing, including text messages that were revealed during the sentencing phase, and she is now going to serve 10 years in jail for is going to serve 10 years in jail for killing a black man in his own apartment, and her defense was, or her argument was, that she went into the wrong, she thought she was going into her apartment and there was an intruder, and she decided to fire her gun because she felt threatened. Tell me if you've heard this story before. So, Lady T, I'm going to ask you this one. First of all, after we saw all of the stuff that happened as the trial played out, including reactions during the sentencing phase, what is your opinion about everything that's here, and what do you think was probably, for you, the viewer that's absorbing all of this information, the most shocking thing for you watching this?
Well, when I first heard this, this was obviously, what, a year and a half ago? I think we even did a show around that time because there were a lot of other shootings going on.
Yes, we did it like actually the week after it happened. So
yeah, so it's like we covered it, hearing, you know, just bits and pieces of it, not hearing the full details. One thing with a witness who's now actually dead, that he said, you know, their doors shut behind them or something to that effect. So I'm just still questioning, how does she get in there? Remember, the media is only going to be covering so much of the trial and so forth. So when I first heard the guilty verdict, I said, okay, she's guilty, but guilty of what? So they, you know, it's murder. So it goes from manslaughter to murder, which showed that all the people that were there rallying and protesting in Texas for this man to get his due just for his life that was taken away, obviously served a purpose, because it went from being manslaughter to guilty, okay? So with that being said, she kept pleading for manslaughter. The judge said, no, the verdict is guilty, right? Because if in case she had got manslaughter, she would have had an even lesser charge. So, you know, everybody want to be mad about 10 years. She could have got 5, 3, none. She could have got away free. So I said, I'm going to wait, because it really doesn't matter that the verdict is murder, because the sentencing is, to me, what really counts. So I think it was 5 to 55 years or something like that that she could have served.
Yeah.
And in this sense, this is one of the topics that was for me, one of those topics that I had to analyze from several different angles. You have a man shot dead in his own apartment by a cop in the state of Texas, which we know is a red state. People are still out in Texas on a day-to-day basis, fighting after all these centuries for justice, especially when you're black. So for me, for her cops and the lawyers and so forth trying to plead, you know, for manslaughter, that's just trying to give her a slap on the wrist. The jury wasn't having that, obviously. So to me, it's like when black people are winning, they don't know when to stop. They always want to have the last word. And this is something that really, really bothers me. Because...
Whoa, hold on. Excuse me, lady T. Can you explain that a little bit more, please? I understand what you're trying to say, but can you just...
No, I will. I'll get right back to that part. I will. I certainly will. So the jury convicts her. Now it's up to the judge to hand down a sentence, okay? The jury's job was to find her guilty or not guilty. Now it's up to the judge to give her a sentence. But what you have is his brother who decides that he wants to speak on behalf of the dead victim, obviously to, I guess, uphold his character and so forth and present that to the courts, no problem. But here you go, now you want to forgive this woman. So it kind of takes away from the fact that they're about to give her a sentence. Whenever victims want to come forth and say, okay, they forgive the person that's being prosecuted and so forth, a judge will take that into consideration for a lesser time, whether they take off, you know, 1 year or for what they were going to give, or they take off 20, who knows? But that sympathy right there, to me, was not due time, especially where the brother said, oh, his family doesn't even know that he's doing this. When you watch the full entirety of it, he says his family doesn't even know he's about to do this. He said, can I give her a hug? Can I give her a hug? He says it like 5 times. By then, I'm sure the judge is like, just give her a hug. Okay? He goes, give her a hug. You just showed sympathy to someone who on record were saying racist remarks about black people. Obviously, I'm sure she is a racist cop. Okay? And you want to show sympathy at a high-profile trial like this, and you don't think that that's going to play a part. What I also didn't like, here you have a court officer stroking her hair, brushing her hair. Then you have the judge coming up to her, where the judge is supposed to be a fair person in this, but you have her coming up to her now, hugging her and sympathizing with her. So to me, that's like this old slave mentality. Now, for people who are coming into this country, especially where my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents are immigrants of same kind of West Indian islands, you guys need to know the law here as well. Okay? Even citizens here don't know that. When you want to sympathize with the victim, with the person that's being prosecuted, that can give them a lesser sentence, and a lot of people don't realize that. So by him giving her that hug, this 20-something-year-old guy, I question his motives also. Are you there for sympathy? Because you could have did that when she was behind bars and go visit her at the jail. You didn't need to do that in the public eye, if you ask me. So I'm not sure if you're doing that for media points or what. Instagram points? I don't know. So for me, this took away from the entire case because I forgot that this man was killed in his own home because all you saw as far as media coverage was all the forgiveness and the forgiveness, and you have the father talking about they want to be friends and this, that, the next. So from the beginning, they was trying to get the cop off. If you ask me, she got a lesser sentence than probably what she would have got for her manslaughter charge. Who knows? It's kind of like a slap on the wrist. Here you have activists and people that were fighting for you guys. It's kind of like it's just all thrown away. She gets the murder verdict and a lesser time. The brother wants to talk about forgiveness. Okay, he forgave. The family forgave. So what are we fighting for? People need to know their history. And for me, something that really bothered me with this is the history in this country where black people have been fighting for justice for centuries, okay? For centuries, they have been fighting for equality. This system is not
built for us. And I just want to know, when are we going to understand that? Because the system is not built for us. They took off the shackles, and then they put the shackles back on in another form. Because I had a white friend that asked me, when have you ever seen a black person on trial and their prosecutors come over and give them a hug of forgiveness? You've never seen that. Have any of you guys ever seen that?
No.
In any of these high-profile cases?
No, not from, I can't recall, no.
And all of this comes from that old slave mentality where, you know, you got to forgive the master and this, that, and the other. And I think it's really sad, and you have to look at the state that they're in. I'm sure they still practice this. Yes,
so,
sir, no,
excuse
sir, and so forth.
Me.
It really
so
bothers me.
Do you think religion is part of this? Is the problem in this thing?
Overall, I look at religion as part of it. I look at this young generation not being educated on the history of this country and what people are fighting for. I blame it on the injustice in this system, because the system is one-sided. It is not built for us at all, okay? And I want black people to wake up, get knowledgeable about the justice system, because you're not knowledgeable about the system. It does not work for us. This does not work for us. And even people from other countries, when you come here, try to understand the justice system. You never know what can happen, and one day you may be in it. I've seen this.
And to put a little context based on what you're saying, and to add a little more ideology behind how racist this person was. And then I'll give you my point after that. The text messages were brought up during the sentencing.
Do you have proof that this person was racist?
Yes, there is.
Yes,
there is
because
proof.
They're in the text messages that were brought during the sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were read and shown in court about what she said. There was one text message exchange that was dated September the 4th, 2 days before Jean was murdered. A friend told Geyer that she should adopt a German Shepherd, although she may be racist. This is what the dog owner said. She responded, "It's okay, I'm the same." Then she also had another admission that, "I hate everything and everyone but y'all." There's another text message exchange. She was apparently having an affair with her partner, who is also married. And they were going back and forth, and they were, I guess they were sexting each other before the murder. And the partner basically said, "Damn, I was at this area with five different black officers, not racist, but damn." She responded, "Not racist, but just have a different way of working, and it shows." There was another text message on Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th. And an exchange that at a parade in Dallas for Martin Luther King, someone texted her, "When does this end, LOL?" She then responded, "When MLK is dead, oh wait, ... These,
okay.
These are the kinds of things.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to be the a-hole here. I'm like, I understand what you're trying to say, but it doesn't solidly prove that this person was a racist. Could it be prejudice or stereotype? But yes, it doesn't prove 100% that it's a racist from the text alone. I mean, words could mean a lot of things, but you know what? That could be the own sick way of humor. Because I'm sorry, a lot of people have sick humor that way too, and not considered to be racist.
Okay.
But
here's
understand.
Another text message that this shows
well,
not
I
just
give,
the
I
racist
to
part,
B now.
But there
on,
is also going into what we talked about as far as her being a police officer. She also had some sort of a habit of going on Pinterest and posting a lot of violent posts involved. And one of them was basically saying, quote, this is a post, "I wear all black to remind you not to mess with me because I'm ready and dressed for your funeral." And someone commented on the post, "Yeah, I got me a gun and a shovel and gloves. If I were you, I'd back up." and I'm editing some of the rougher language.
But like Lady TT, that's Texas. That's their mentality down there. And we all know Texas is screwed up.
But
there's
that's
no,
the point.
No difference from Florida.
And that's
Hot
the part
Rod.
You're missing.
That's the
Rod.
Part that you're missing, because that's what I was going to say. Things out there is still normalized. That's normalized. Just how you sound. If you was from Texas, mm-hmm. that would be so okay, because you just normalized that. You just normalize
okay.
everything Sean Black just said. That's normal to them. That's normal everyday talk to them. That's normal.
But that's been normal
well,
for
ahead,
years.
Right.
And
yeah. Exactly. And we think it has went somewhere, but it has not.
I mean, listen, racism is you know, racism is as normal in this country as it could be. This country was built off of racism, so it is what it is. It's built off of destruction. It's built off of blood. This is not the first time I've said it, and it won't be the last. I mean, it is what it is. It's something that they don't want to own up to, but I mean, it's in the history books. They told on themselves. It is what it is, and they're proud of it. So Texas is, once again, it's Texas. What do you expect from Texas? I'm sorry, but it's a bunch of stereotypical redneck talking, and it is normal. Just like we may say things on the side. Like, I mean, some of the stuff that Sean Black was reading, I didn't take it as being racist. What I took it as her trying to fit in or just be a part of the clique and just saying stupid stuff or just saying stuff in general. Because I can sit there and say, oh, not to sound racist, but I don't put raisins in my macaroni salad. Like, you know what I'm saying? And somebody could be like, oh, that's messed up. But somebody else can look at it.
But if you put that in a text, then anybody could say that either way, as a racist or not racist, or just a bad taste of joke. That's the thing.
No, I just think a text alone doesn't mean anything. I don't even take it as a bad joke. I just take it as that's who they are. Like, you got to understand something. Some of these people only see black people when they're either on TV or they're in the street. They don't live amongst black people or live in places where black people live with them. And if so, it's that type of, you know, what is it, Carlton Banks Negro. But otherwise, they don't see black people. They look at these things, every black person is like 50 Cent or Jay-Z or somebody, you know what I'm saying, or some lower-level gang member or something like that. That's how they look at us. But, I mean, this is what they perceive. This is what it is. And I don't see why we should see anything different. My whole issue, you know, it has nothing to do with religion, because they can try and throw Christianity all they want to in it. Oh, this is why we forgive. No, it's something more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I was just watching a YouTube video with a girl. I'm sorry, I forgot her name, who actually lost her job because she took the video footage of what the officer was doing. And one thing that stuck in my head was she said she heard two shots and she heard somebody shout, "Why did you do that? You didn't have to do that." So was that him or was that somebody else there? Like, the whole thing to me is bogus. And if you want to get onto the thing of like, listen, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. It's not to disrespect anyone's background or culture, but a lot of times, except for black Americans, and I'm not saying it's always that case, but a lot of people that do come over here, the first thing they want to do is look down on black Americans, and then secondly, they kind of want to, you know, get brownie points with the white man, whether it's Caribbean or other. It is what it is. I've seen it. I know it well. It's like they'll be quick to crap on somebody of their own color, but when it comes down to the Caucasian man coming around, yeah, how you doing, sir? This is that. And it's not so much the house end mentality. It's just the fact that I guess some people got to show what their loyalty is. Because if I'm cutting the check, then we got to be cool.
Okay.
Can I just read something real quick, Hot Rod, with what Brother Beach just said?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes, go ahead.
So he was talking about with Christianity. I just want to go to the Bible. I think it's Peter 2:18. Yeah, listen, and the Bible is written by a human, so we need to really stop it. I don't know white human, what human, but anyway. Slaves, submit yourselves to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh.
Okay. So you're trying to say that what that brother did from that in the court? He used
that's
that type
what
of verb?
That's what I feel. He forgave
her. He forgave his master?
I think somebody's getting a check.
I think somebody's
also up for re-election of their position on that stand.
The judge, easily.
And also, remember, as you've heard me say before, forgiveness is never for the other person. Forgiveness is for the person that's doing the forgiving.
Who knows, that can all be done privately too.
They could have done that off the air, cameras off, and forgave her in that before she was sent off. Give me a break.
Maybe the emotion got the best of him, and he wasn't thinking at that time. I agree, but you never know. People react differently to everything, right?
Emotion got the best of him. Why was he even on the stand? Is what I'm thinking.
Well, wait a minute. Weren't they sleeping together?
I heard that story. I don't know how true that
we
is.
We heard that. Remember, we heard that in the beginning. We did a show with that, guys. Y'all forgot. That was the rumor in the beginning, but that was hush-hush now, along with the kid being the kid that testified over the weekend. You hear he's being killed, but they're saying, let's not jump to conclusions and say the two are linked. Okay.
Yeah, basically what they were saying is that the witness that saw what happened, he was killed, like, literally, what was it? Of like a few days after
he was shot in the mouth shortly after
Jean was killed. He moved from his apartment complex to someplace else, like 3 months afterwards. He gets killed literally days after he finishes testifying at the trial. And basically what they're trying to say was that he was shot, the victim, he was shot a year before at a strip club. And they're trying to say that the people that shot him are coming back for some sort of retribution, and that's what they think happened with him being killed.
Wonderful story to concoct and perfect timing. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry,
I don't know which one, Trump or this.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I have to give it to K-Dog. You've been waiting for a long time. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing this evening? How's everybody doing?
Just shut up and talk already.
All right, no, I'm just gonna come on and say this. You know, time and time again, we hear about these things happening, especially when it comes to black people being shot and killed by law enforcement. For some reason, it's always the same story over and over again. The officer always gets off. And in this case, what was really the worst part about it is what the brother did. I mean,
so
coming
with
up
a
and forgiving.
Why are you upset with a brother?
And this is why, you know, and like Lady T said earlier, and I got to hand it to her for breaking everything down the way she did. Now, the brother, before the verdict was had, why did you feel the need that you had to go up there and, you know, do a mea culpa for this murderer who murdered your brother? You understand why you're doing that? And what made no sense to me, what really got me is that, you know, you're going up and you're hugging and you're saying, I hope she finds Christ. You know, this is where the religion plays a part in it and the brainwashing of religion. You know, what good is it that you're going to walk to the person who murdered your brother, giving this person a hug, and like, I have to give sympathy. I'm like, sympathy? What the hell? There's no sympathy in that. She murdered your brother, and now, you know, she gets like 10 years? Now, what it is that this forgiving thing, I mean, really, coming up, hugging killers or looking at them, I forgive you. Trust me, they meant what they did. They did what they did, and they stand right behind it. So what are you forgiving for? They meant it.
So is this?
Well, I'm sorry.
So you say, is it the same thing? Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. And I'm going to say something, and it may sound, I don't think it's sound racist, but I don't care. Yo.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
What was his background?
West Indian.
They're from
St. Lucia.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, St. Lucia. Okay. Because I saw the last name. I could have sworn it was Haitian. And to be honest with you, out of all the FP Haitian people I ever worked with, I ever known, I ain't never seen a Haitian individual, man or woman, that forgiving. Because mm-hmm. you cross the Haitian and get you in your ass. I ain't never seen that.
Well,
so that's why I was like,
well,
okay,
that was my next question.
So I stand corrected.
Let's be honest. If any of this thing, let's say everyone's in the same situation, do you see yourself forgiving this cop? You
Hell
think
no.
Arizona's mother forgave this cop for choking
her
son?
No, she didn't. As a matter of fact, the wife even said, hell no, because even after Officer Pantaleo apologized and said, oh, you know, he's sorry for what happened, she was like, hell no, I ain't forgiving him. So this is the thing, like some people, you know, especially like you said earlier, and I say this as someone whose parents are from the Caribbean islands. Now, one thing I was taught is to never bow my head down to anybody on race, to never bow my head down or try to kiss up to anybody to get anywhere. But unfortunately, from certain islands, they come here and, you know, the one thing they want to do is, I mean, pardon me for saying this, to kiss up to the white man. I'm like, what the hell? You work hard. Why you feel the need to kiss up to them for? You know, it's like a custom. I'm like, That's not the way we do things here. That's
okay.
That.
And Tashawn,
go ahead.
To go back to the beginning of your story, do you think this lady, the cop, worked a 14-hour day, had a long day, really went to the wrong apartment, and she went to cop mode and went to shot up whoever's in her core apartment? Or you think there's more to the story that she had some type of relationship in the past and something it just went sour? What was your first
just
touch?
On the logical principle of that entire explanation? That explanation in and of itself makes no logical sense whatsoever. How somebody who, no matter how long they work, how tired they are, would be able to walk into someone else's apartment with their own key, which would not open anyone else's door, unless this was some sort of weird key fob where she has the electronic master lock for every apartment in the building, can get inside of someone else's apartment and be so out of it that she thinks she's in her own apartment and get away with it. So there's something here that obviously either we're missing that was in the trial that we're not thinking about, or as we all pretty much know about, it's CYA time. And
true, Sean Black. True, I agree.
And
go
there
ahead.
Has to be something in this whole situation that is not connecting. Now, do we know if there was any history between these two? Was there some sort of tryst that changed, that turned sour? Did she have an, because remember, it's stated she was having some kind of an affair with her married partner.
Yes.
Did he
right.
know
yeah.
something that could have gotten her in trouble with her superiors about the situation? There could be a multitude of things within that explanation there
a
that
whole
we're not
lot.
Looking at.
But
the
true.
Bottom
but
line
believe
here,
not.
The bottom line in this whole situation, and this is something that Brother B hit on to some degree, and Lady T hit on also. There is a history of African Americans over the decades and over the decades to try to appease themselves in the eyes of whoever is out there within the nation, whether they're white, whether they're whoever, whatever race they are, to ingratiate themselves to the people that have harmed them the most.
Exactly.
And this is the thing that I have seen many, many times. You see a TV show where the slave master beat the slave. The slave has made all kinds of inroads to get out of that situation and then move on. And what's the first thing that you see in the story? That person has found religion and goes to the oppressor and has forgiven them. I don't blame you. I blame the system. I have to turn the other cheek because God has said so, or whatever is the situation there. And we've seen it time and time again.
And that's what they're
portrayed. It's been portrayed on television. It's been portrayed in movies and books and all kinds of culture because it's based on things that continue to happen even today. Now,
mm-hmm.
this is not to say that all white people are racist because that is a fallacy. We know that that's not the case. But
exactly.
the ones that have actually hurt minorities in situations like this, we tend to see a lot of times that that family, whether they're African-American, whether they're Hispanic, will go, not to say out of their way, but they try to make the best efforts that they can to forgive that other person. And in a lot of instances, it has to do with religion, because the religion that they follow teaches
mm-hmm.
them to turn the other cheek, you know, forgive and forget, those kinds of ideals that are taught within a person's religion as part of their background, as part of their upbringing. But a lot of that is rooted in that mentality of no matter how many times that the oppressor has oppressed you, if for you to move on, you must forgive your oppressor. And these are the kinds of things that are still culturally relevant, and we see this over and over again. And it makes people so sad and angry at the same time.
Well, it does.
Okay, Lady T. Go ahead, Lady T.
Okay, it goes back to what I was saying and Sean Black was saying, Brother B, all you guys were saying. But for me, it goes back to us not knowing and us still not knowing. I feel that we're imprisoned mentally due to the fact that we don't want to know our history. We don't want to know what people before was fighting for and what they're still fighting for today. You don't want to know your rights and that the system is not built for people with your skin color. Okay, it's just another form of slavery, if you ask me. You're also in prison because here you go, the people are protesting for you, and his brother want to get on the stand and talk about forgiveness. Don't forgive now. If you want to forgive, you could forgive, sure. Forgive off the media ear is what I'm trying to say. Okay, forgive
so
in private.
What I found interesting to add to your point is the fact that he was speaking for his brother as if the brother was the one that was doing all of this stuff.
He
I think he would want to forgive so and so.
Yes,
I think he would want to forgive.
You don't know that. He also says his family doesn't even know I'm about to do this. Can I give him
mm-hmm.
a hug? His family didn't even know. You hear his family in the background boo-hooing. Who knows if that was
exactly.
good or bad?
No,
who knows
goodness.
If he got smacked up a couple of times after? We don't know. But what I wanted to say, you have people that protest and put their lives on the line for this man that died. You understand what I'm saying? And black people
mm-hmm.
don't know when to shut up when you're winning. You're winning. You got the murder stuff. Don't
mm-hmm.
forgive right now. Just be quiet until it's handed down. And I'm just saying one more thing, that you're also in prison because you're still in that slave mentality, and there's a house Negro everywhere waiting to take you guys out. You understand what I'm saying? So you're imprisoned
mm-hmm.
mentally, because of your mentality. It's like, wake up. And for me right now, if the family is okay with all of this and forgiving and everything, there's other protests to go protest against right now. I'm really, really done with this story, to be honest with you, because
okay.
if they're okay with this being a justice, hey, it's your family. I got other people to go fight for.
So, in other words,
yes,
why are we
right.
talking about it? But to
I mean, we have to talk
case.
About it because it's for awareness. You still have
True.
To talk about it. And the judge, one more thing with the judge, you're supposed
Whoa.
To be there to be a fair person in this. You're not there for to go up and give people a hug. You're there for the factor of the jury is going to decide the case of murder or manslaughter or whatever the charge will be, and you're there to hand down a sentence. And I feel like she did not do her due responsibility because there's no reason why you should have came off that stand.
And to Lady T's point, and this is to you, Brother B, I remember on social media, because we on social media every day, everybody praising the guilty charges, everybody throwing their hands up in the air. Yeah, we want something. And when they found out about the sentence, everyone became angry again. Are we jumping the gun as always to celebrate? And, or like, what is our problem overall in this case, Brother B?
Well, besides the fact of just being too over-religious and wanting to forgive all the time, how could you forgive the person that's kicking you in your ass. You know what I find interesting? Would it be, if it was a and I hate to use that quote, a black-on-black situation, would they have been forgiven, as forgiven? If it was a black man or a black woman that did that to him?
No.
Would it not be forgiven at all. So that's
would there be
saying.
Any media coverage about this?
You probably wouldn't.
Would we be talking about it?
You probably wouldn't be. It's just only it's what makes media and what makes it good and makes it sellable is that it's a black-on-white situation. It's always the good versus the evil. Good being the Caucasian, good being the cop, and bad always being the black person. I mean, come on.
And
after a while, the narrative is the same, and you got to call the spade a spade.
Said that whole thing about it seems like somebody is winning, take the W and kind of ease off. This sounds very similar as far as that mentality part of it to when the O.J. trial happened. Irregardless of whether there was justice involved, we've seen because of so many slights that have happened to other African-Americans and other minorities in the court system that it was like, well, see, you know what it feels like now, and then kind of gloated and rubbed it in the faces of all of those white people that were very upset about the situation. Same thing, that same mentality here is like there is finally a racist white cop that was found guilty and is going to jail, but instead of taking that as what it is and instead of saying this is not normal, it's the mindset of, well, you take that W for what it is and then move on. And the problem is it shouldn't be about the W because the situation shouldn't have had to get to that point in the first place, because there are way too many people, police officers, that have had the power that they've had, and those that actually use it for their own gain, those the ones that are the racists out there that take that power and use it to just do what they can and what they want. And I'll give you another perfect example. Hot Rod, I sent you a video earlier today about a cop that was arresting another black man. This was a white cop. Had this black person, don't know what the arrest was over, had him in a chokehold with his face in the ground. I'm guessing this is his girlfriend or a female that was with him, was talking to him about what are you doing, what are you doing. While he's in the chokehold and restrained on the ground, he then got tased. Unnecessary. He's already restrained. He's already given himself up. He's already compliant. And while he was in the chokehold, he was tased. And these are the kinds of things that people that look at police officers and wonder why a lot of minorities and African Americans look at the police the way that they do and have the reaction that they have to this kind of case. Things like that happen.
Well, real quick. I have to say this. And like I said, correct me if I'm wrong. It's all good. Sometimes I don't think it's racism. I think it's just out and out fear. There's a general fear for us. There's a general fear when it comes down to black people, because it's a stereotype, and we need to stop putting the Band-Aid on a bullet wound, because it's been here. There's always been a fear of us. And there will continue to be a fear of us, because they do not want us to ever be in a position where they will have to bend or bow to us. And the whole thing is, we're not even looking for that. We just want to get ours and be left alone. But some people are not content with that. They feel that they have to browbeat you and beat you down and kick you until you are subservient to them, so that way you cannot rise. I think in this case, I don't think she was really racist. I just think she did something stupid, and she was trying to, like it was said earlier, CYA, cover her ass. That's what I think was done.
But she did the wrong way. She screwed up.
I think she screwed up big time, and they backed her even more so.
Yeah. Well, I got to say this is that I feel that the case would have been different had it been a black woman that would have committed such a crime. The judge probably would have thrown the book at her. You wouldn't see no judge coming up and giving a hug. You wouldn't see family saying, oh, I forgive you and all of that. You know, this forgiveness stuff, we got to stop it. I mean, seriously, stop it. Make some sense, people. Really, really. Get it together.
So basically, the logic of tonight's conversation is really about forgiveness, that black people are too easy to forgive these days. But,
basically.
There's people that forgive. You can forgive in private. There's people that may forgive over time. My point is, why did he need to even be on that stand? I still don't understand why he needed the man is dead. Why he needed to testify, why he needed to even speak his forgiveness right then and there. I didn't get that.
Staged.
That bothered me.
It was staged. It was, I believe the whole
thing
was staged.
I feel like it was staged.
It was staged.
And you know what? I sadly to say, before I go to Phil, this type of case, even though it was weird, it just won't be the last time. It will happen again and again.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
I wouldn't be surprised if his family starts running a ministry after this and get the funding. Anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Oh yeah.
And it seems like every day something new
definitely.
Comes out of this thing anyway.
Okay. Phil the Fish, Matt Fisher. You
hey,
have
what's
the
up, Phil?
Word.
Hello, people.
Phil.
Hey,
Phil.
You know,
how you doing?
Hanging in. You know what my question is about the whole thing? The cop, she said she had done a 14-hour day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How the hell do you not know the difference between your apartment and somebody else's apartment?
Thank you.
Phil,
the door's
Phil, thank you.
Thank
hold
you,
on,
Phil.
He's done 14-hour days before.
Listen, everybody handled 14 hours differently. I could see that. You could go rogue. You could go from calm to rogue in a 14-hour shift in 10 minutes. We don't know what happened in that 14-hour shift.
Really
I don't
think that was
the
first
14-hour
shift. Come on.
The behavior is the problem. What people are
hold
having
on.
A problem with is the fact that she wandered into someone else's apartment.
Apartment, exactly.
That's the problem.
Listen, people are dumb.
We know people who work long hours can have
I'm sorry. That people are dumb.
I'm sorry. Can I say this? Let me say this. I've worked 12-hour, 13-hour days. I still know my own address.
Exactly.
I mean, something doesn't sound right. If she didn't
know
the difference between her, apartment and somebody else's apartment, first of all, there's something more to it. She had to be on something.
Of course.
Wait a minute,
brother.
Don't
worry
about it. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm lost. I thought the first report, because I haven't really been in with following this, I thought the first report said she was coming from a bar. And
I'm going to be surprised.
That's what I'm saying. Didn't all of this come up in the beginning of it, but then it was under the rug come trial time? Like, I don't know.
It all disappeared.
She was in a bar.
All of
she
that went away.
She was a bar.
People forgot about it.
But once again, we don't know the whole story. That's what I'm like, listen, 14 hours, you go out to have a drink, go flingle or whatever. Anything will happen. So I could see something like that happening to a certain degree. And people are stupid overall. Remember that. So to say that, you know, going to the wrong apartment, hey, I've been to Sean's apartment many times by mistake, but I'm still alive. But other than that.
Oh, man, y'all never stop.
What? Sean and I, we go way back. I just don't know what to say.
We all go way back.
A little too far back.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, man.
This is the thing that you're basically trying to insult the people's intelligence by covering your own tracks, or at least trying, and sounding like a complete idiot.
That's what they do, but that's their purpose.
This is nothing new. You know, if she had just come out and told the truth in the beginning, who knows? I do believe this shooting was a mistake. I do believe that. Can I prove that? No, but I could see it happening, you know? I could see her entering the wrong apartment, went cop roll, and shot someone. I could see that.
How could you have seen that if they say the door shut right behind you with this gentleman that's sitting in his home watching TV, door's locked? I don't know. Listen, trial minutes will be available. You do know that. You can get the trial minutes after all this.
Hopefully we all find out the truth one day, but I doubt we ever go find out the truth. But other than that, guys, thank you so much. Sean Black, after this conversation, please text me your address so I can send you a copy of the Bible because you need it.
Oh, of course.
And,
no,
Brother B,
I know.
Brother B, what's going on for tomorrow night? 30 seconds.
All right. Tomorrow night, the menu. Why men and need to think that their girlfriends is on some mama stuff and something else. I got to get it together. I was last week. No, there was difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, so I have to repost the show. But yeah, why do women feel they have to take care of their men? Like, you know, like the children. And you know, some other good stuff.
Like, I gotta take care of y'all.
Guys.
Oh my goodness.
Have a good night and God bless.
Peace out, y'all.
The pleasure was all yours. Good grief.
Oh my goodness.